WTFR.
Welcome to Two's Company, Three's Allowed, with your host from the land down under, Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Dissecting the latest news on the issues that invade your privacy and take away your rights as we move closer to a one-world government. And finding solutions alongside you, the listener, to fight against the New World Order. And now, here's your host, Sean.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Two's Company, Three's Allowed, the top of the third hour. This is going to be what we call the safe hour. With this is Malefica Sentius and myself, Sean. What happens is, every now and then, I like to do a children's hour, where we warn children of what not to do and what to do depending on the situation. Well, I always like to dig up some clips. Year after year, I always discuss drowning and how drowning doesn't look like drowning. Because on the movies, drowning looks like thrashing in the water and like, you know, you're drowning. That's not the case. Quite often, children start to drown. This is not just for the children, it's for the parents as well, of course. It doesn't often look like drowning. What happens is they just get a daze, their nose and mouth are under the water. I'm just going to cut the brakes out because we don't want any brakes coming in at the moment. What happens is quite often they get a dazed look over their face when their mouth and nose is under the water. They're drowning, but they're very calm. A lot of the time, they don't know that they're drowning. It's just happening, and the parents aren't realizing it. They just think they're sitting there very calmly. It's not like you see in the movies. I've read an article over the years of where a captain of a ship saw from a distance that a child was drowning because she was sitting there with her nose and mouth under the water, and the parents had no idea what was going on. So he was waving his arms, and when he realized the parents didn't know what was happening, he dove in and he saved the girl the parents just didn't realize that the young girl was drowning. So it's this sort of safety, but it's also the safety of when people are going to be kidnapped. Now, for the little ones, I want you to know that you do not want to be talking to strangers. If a stranger walks up and asks you for the time, do not give them the time. Just say, I'm not allowed to talk to strangers, and walk away. Simple as that. Okay? If they happen to start following you, then you need to get to the nearest adult and say, this person is following me, right? And the adult will hopefully be able to help you. There's a lot that goes on that in the adult world that you just don't want to experience, if you will. I've got a bundle of clips here that I'm going to be playing that I want you to hear as a young person. Adults, you might want to sort of take your kids out of the room if it sounds a little bit disturbing. There's nothing bad language or anything like that. But there is things that may be disturbing to them. At least you can watch them, listen to these clips as a parent, and then explain it in your own way to them, you know, before they go to bed or something like that, and say, all right, you know, this is what we need to take, we need to understand. So what I'm going to be doing is playing some clips, and I will read the clip out before I play it. So if you need to send your child out for whatever reason, because you think it will disturb the child, if the child happens to be too young, you can do so. So let's start with this one, Maleficus. Do we have you there, Maleficus?
Yes, I'm here, mate. I was being a patient student and listening to you.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, no,
I did actually have my hand up, but you didn't notice.
Oh, there. Sorry about that. You know, we're a long way away. I can only barely see you in the distance.
Yes, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So what we're going to do is the first one we're going to play is 7-year-old runs to Utah home after stranger offers her a bicycle. So young ones, if somebody offers you something, whether it be lollies or what the Americans call candy or a bicycle, don't take it. Don't ask for it. Run. Just run to your house or run to the nearest house and bam, bam, bam on the door so that you can get protection. Because there might be a reason the person is offering this to you in that they want to harm you. Think of when you fall over and you skin your knee. Well, think of skinning your knee 5 times. And it's going to hurt a lot, isn't it? Well, that person might want to skin your knee 5 times. So what we want to do at the moment is if somebody offers lollies or candy to you, don't do it. Let's have a listen to this clip here just to get a gist.
Run, Emmy, run! 7-year-old Emmy McCardle was sunbathing outside her house in Salt Lake City when a car pulled up. The driver offered a friendly greeting. Then he asked an enticing question that any little kid could fall for.
You want a bicycle?
No.
But little Emmy knew just what to do. She yelled no and ran into her home.
I believe that he was looking for a child to take.
Emmy's mom, Michelle, knew something was wrong the second her daughter ran through the door.
She came running in and said, "Hey, there's a tricky guy outside that tried to get me."
I didn't want to go with him because he looked like a tricky man, and I didn't know him, so I didn't want to go with him.
Emmy showed us how she bravely took action when the stranger called out to her. A surveillance camera on her doorbell captured the scary episode.
No.
You can hear him ask if she wants a bicycle, and she says no.
Michelle says she taught her 2 kids from an early age about stranger danger.
Never go with a tricky person because they try and take you to a bad place.
I'm so grateful that she knew what to do.
Mom hopes other kids will see this video and learn from it. Salt Lake City police are now asking for the public's help in tracking down the driver of the late model green Ford Taurus.
It's very suspicious. First of all, just the mere fact that he stopped in front of the home as she's there sunbathing. Then when he starts engaging her in conversation, again, it's not typical that an adult would converse with a young child like that.
You want a bicycle?
No.
So there we go. That's the first clip, Maleficus. A good message out to the kids. When somebody pulls up in front of your driveway or whether you're walking along the road and they ask you, do you want a bicycle or do you want some lollies or do you want some candy? Don't do it. All you do is say no and you run. You run to the nearest household. Bam, bam, bam on the door and get some help.
Definitely. And to be fair, to be honest, any respecting adult would ask the parents if it was okay first. You know, if I wanted to give a bicycle to my next door neighbor's children, I wouldn't approach the children. I would approach the parents and say, would this be any good to you? Do you think your daughter or your son would like this? I wouldn't approach the child directly. Because as a parent myself, I don't want, I feel that it's my right to decide what is right or wrong for my child. And I wouldn't expect somebody to just offer my child something that I hadn't said it was okay for them to have. So any self-respecting adult would at least approach your parents first.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. So to let the little ones know, you know, if these people that you see on the street have not spoken to your parents before, then they are strangers. And what do? We stay away from strangers. Okay, let's take a listen to this one. 13-year-old fights off would-be kidnapper. Now, the reason I want to bring this one up is, especially for the parents, is that my daughter was almost kidnapped. There was a new bus driver. The bus driver didn't understand the route. So what happens is when my son and my daughter got off the bus, they were dropped off by a dank laneway. and somebody came out of the laneway and picked up my daughter and started to try and run with her. It was lucky that her brother was with her, my son was with her, because he started to yell and the kidnapper panicked. So it was just lucky at that stage. Now, for the little ones, if you do get picked up by somebody, if somebody runs up behind you and picks you up, you need to do things that are... It's not nice, I know, but the thing is you need to do it to protect yourself. You need to stick your fingers in their eyes. It's horrible, I know, but if you don't, they won't let you go. They'll take you away. They will hurt you. So what you need to do is stick your fingers in their eyes. You need to scratch. You need to bite. You need to do everything you possibly can to get away from these people. You need to hurt them in any way because otherwise they're going to hurt you. It is okay to hurt them because they are going to hurt you. Let's take a look at this one here. 13-year-old fights off would-be kidnapper.
Now to that incredible kidnapping escape here in New York. A 13-year-old caught on surveillance camera fighting off an attacker who followed her home on her walk from school. ABC's Ariel Reshef has the story.
It's the shocking near abduction caught on camera. A 13-year-old girl fighting off an alleged kidnapper.
This 13-year-old girl was very brave. She fought off this individual. She fought off her attacker.
Police say the victim was walking home from classes at this Long Island middle school Tuesday afternoon when a man started following her, trailing her for a half a mile. Then, just steps from her door, the man starts running after the teen. Surveillance cameras from the family's home capturing the entire struggle. The 13-year-old telling authorities the assailant grabbed her, putting his hand over her mouth to stifle her screams. The teen says she was able to briefly escape before the man tried to drag her behind some parked cars. She manages to get away, banging on her door for help before her family comes to the rescue. Video showing her older brother confronting the suspect.
This little girl did do everything right. When a child is able to get away, it's because something that they did that was proactive, kicking, screaming, drawing attention, making noise. That's exactly what this girl did in this case. She did everything she could to get away from this guy. She really acted quickly.
Just 24 hours later, police arresting this man, 24-year-old Jared James, with the help of those surveillance videos and one brave little girl.
Brave indeed. James is facing several charges, including endangering a child, second-degree assault, and attempted kidnapping. As you heard there, experts say 80% of the time when a child escapes abduction, it is because of something they did, proactive action. So they say it's best for parents to talk to your kids early and often about what to do in this scenario.
Always such an important reminder. Yeah. Okay, Ariel, thank you.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for checking out the ABC News YouTube channel. If you'd like...
So there we go. This message is, it's not so much for, of course, the young ones, Maleficus, because they won't understand it. If there's something like 6 to 8 years of age, they probably won't understand what this means. But this is more for the 10, 11, 12-year-olds and everything like that, that are easily enticed into these situations or end up in these situations not their own will. So that's where we're talking here. And we're also more talking to the parents. It can happen so quick, it's not funny. You know, I ended up walking my son and my daughter home. My little girl was only tiny. She was only 6 at the time when she was almost kidnapped. So what happens is I had to walk them home from school every day instead of catching the bus. And it was taxing her little legs, so I had to put her up on my bicycle and just walk the bicycle back at the time. And I did this for a long time. It was pretty terrible. But look, this is more for the parents and also those that are like 10, 11, 12 onwards to understand that, if somebody grabs you, you've got to do everything in your power to fight back. Scratch.
Yeah, I mean...
Yep.
To add to that, you will find that there are a lot of self-defense videos. I mean, if your parents themselves or if you as parents don't really have any idea about martial arts or boxing or judo or any form of self-defense, then there are actually videos on YouTube, freely available for people to go and look at that will give them a rough idea or a basic idea of what to do if you're attacked. So, yeah, I'd advise anyone to go online and look at that sort of stuff just to be able to prepare your kids for that eventuality, because, you know, crikey, you'd be kicking yourself. You would be kicking yourself, to put it bluntly or very mildly, you'd be kicking yourself if something happened and you hadn't prepared your child for that eventuality.
I agree.
You'd want to sit back and know that you know, they did everything they could, at least, you know?
I wholeheartedly agree with that. You know, as you know, I'm teaching my daughter how to box for these reasons. I've taught her how to eye gouge. And I know it sounds awful, especially if there are younger ones than, you know, like if there are young ones that are listening that are about 8 years of age, which I doubt their parents would allow them to listen to, but eye gouging is one of the most important things on the face of the planet when it comes to somebody abducting a child, because it's, again, we're in 2021 now where we have so much, corruption going on in the world, kidnappings, murders, rapes, and all of that. So what we need to do is teach our children how to eye gouge, you know, reach back and stick your fingers in his or her eyeballs and make perfectly sure that they drop you so you can run. It's the only option we've got now. Isn't it funny, Maleficus, that...
Yeah.
Well, it's not funny. Isn't it awful that we have to teach our children these things in this day and age, as brutal as it is? Because if we don't, awful things can come about. You know,
well,
so...
You could argue, to be fair, that this is the sort of thing that you would teach your child, you know, hundreds of years ago anyway.
Yeah.
This is the sort of thing that you would teach to your children, but it's been, shall we say, educated out of us. Oh, you don't want to cause harm to other people. No, you don't ever want to cause harm to other people. But if they want to cause harm to you, then you are justified, even in the eyes of God.
That's right. And what Maleficus means by justified, he means that it's okay to do it. For those of you that are young and not sure what justified means. No, you're absolutely right. What you call it's been educated out of us, I call it divorced. It's been divorced, and we need to reinforce it. We need to say to our children, hey, listen, my son.
It's okay to defend yourself.
Yeah, it's okay to defend yourself. We don't want to harm people. Nobody wants to harm people. But the thing is, if somebody tries to harm you, it's okay to harm them, plain and simply. Let's get to the next clip here. What are we? 18 past. Okay, so we're good. Alabama police rescue kidnapped woman from cage in van. This is how scary this can get. So it's not just kids, ladies and gentlemen. It's also like full-grown women that can be kidnapped. So if this gives you an idea, this is why you need to know how to eye gouge and do these sorts of things, because even grown women can be kidnapped as well. Let's have a listen.
Police say the suspect had only been in Alabama a matter of months. He's from Los Angeles. He has a long and violent criminal history, according to authorities. He's accused of kidnapping a woman and holding him in his van, which he had converted into a cage. A brazen predator pulled from the back of his van and put in cuffs just moments earlier.
Again.
A dramatic rescue of his alleged victim as police in Alabama free the kidnapped woman from the vehicle. The doors chained shut from the inside. Neighbors stunned by the shocking scene.
We were just terrified because we didn't know, you know, whether he had a gun, whether he's going to be shooting or what.
Police say the suspect, identified as Sean Sanders, is a homeless man from Los Angeles with an extensive criminal record.
He's in the back.
The drama captured on an officer's body cam unfolding Sunday afternoon as police rushed to the scene after officers spot the suspect's minivan.
Barricaded subject van with a female hot.
Police say Sanders had tried to drag the victim into the woods. A witness heard her screams. Sanders then forcing the victim into the van and fleeing. That good Samaritan, though, following behind, calling police.
I didn't have all the facts. The only thing I did know, I wasn't going to let him leave without the police checking it out.
Authorities finally cornering Sanders, but he refused to give up.
Get out of the van, Sean.
Come on, Sean.
Holding the terrified victim at knife point in the back of the van.
I got him.
police eventually tasing Sanders as they pulled the woman to safety. Inside, they found the back of the vehicle had been converted into a cage, wire covering the windows, blankets blocking any view. The doors chained shut. Police say the victim suffered more than 30 blows to the head with a tire iron. She's now recovering at home, grateful to be alive.
Indeed, very lucky. Sanders now behind bars, facing a long list of felony charges. Investigators say he'd been living in Alabama for the last 3 months out of his van.
Hello, I'm Mark Brown. Click the ABC7 logo to subscribe to our Eyewitness News YouTube channel.
No, don't click the ABC thing. But anyway, it goes to show how brazen these disgusting pigs are. They'll pick up a young child, or they'll pick up an adult at any time. They have no fear whatsoever, ladies and gentlemen. So, by all means, teach.
Yeah, and also, obviously, that poor lady who'd taken 30 blows to the head with a tire iron over here. We wouldn't call it a tire iron. We'd call it a
crowbar,
a spanner, or whatever. A tire iron. I'm thinking about the thing to change a wheel, but no, a tire iron. Yeah, I suppose it would be a crowbar.
Yeah. Crikey. Yeah, crowbar. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's horrific. That's horrific.
It's absolutely horrific. It's absolutely.
And
horrific.
In broad daylight, obviously, as well. If this guy it was witnessed by some guy who followed, thank goodness that guy was there.
To follow the
vehicle with the mobile phone. And this is one time, Sean, I know I argue against them, but this is one time I will definitely advocate for mobile phones.
yeah, I know. But you know what? This is where I will say it's flawed still. I'll tell you why. It's because the first thing they do is take your mobile phone away from you when they grab you. They reach over you.
Oh no, I mean about the guy.
Okay.
Who followed the vehicle.
Yep. I see what you mean. I was talking about the kidnap victim, but I see what you're saying. Yeah. The kidnap victim. The first thing they do is they reach into the back pocket, grab the mobile phone, they throw it away, and then they just chuck the victim in the back of the car. So, but again, to the young ones that are listening, or the parents that are listening, listen to this stuff. Heed it. Because you can then teach your child what to do when something like this happens. Okay, so we've got one here caught on camera. I want to leave a happy note before we go on this hour, Maleficus. There's a happy one where there was
just before we get happy. Mm. Just before we get happy, can I explain something that. Eye gouging is not forcing your fingers into someone's eyeball. It's trying to force your fingers down the side of someone's eyeball between their skull and their eye.
That's right.
Just because people might think, oh, I'll just poke them in the eye and that will do everything. Yeah, being poked in the eye is quite painful. But if someone manages to get their thumb or their finger between your eye and the bone socket, then that is a lot more painful. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. You could actually, yeah, I know. It'll probably be more parents that are listening to this and I will make a disclaimer. I will make a disclaimer sort of thing so that the parents can explain it to the child in their own way on its own page. But you're absolutely right. In fact, you can scrape an eyeball out of its socket if you can get it between the skull and the eyeball itself. Now, it sounds awful to have to teach your child this, but you know what? I taught my children this early on in life, and they weren't disturbed by it. I was just straight out. I said, hey, especially my daughter, I said, darling, after she'd been almost kidnapped, I said, this is what you need to do. You need to get your fingers right in there and just like, vroom, try and rip that eyeball out. And she was like, okay, Dad. She was cool with it. You know what I mean?
But, you know, I can imagine Beth was, actually. Yeah, okay, Dad. I got it.
Yeah. That's right. And you know what? That big part of that, just to, as another disclaimer, could be because they've been brought up with a person that was, on the street and everything like that. So they're used to the way I talk. But you, as a parent, will have your own way of talking to explain it. You know what you have to do. But you need to explain it these days because there's too many creepos out on the street. Let's get to this one here. Where is it? Yeah, I've got a couple that at the end of the hour I'm going to play that will perk up the mood because, of course, this stuff is all doom and gloom. But here's this one's pretty cool. Dad knocks out kidnapper, saves his daughter. Let's have a listen.
That's when I decided to take action and knock him out.
A father being called a hero tonight for knocking out a man who tried to kidnap his 3-year-old daughter. The scary moments played out at the regional park near the family's home in Auburn.
CBS 13's Jennifer McGrath spoke to that father and joins us now in the studio to explain what happened. Scary stuff, Jen.
Yeah, this really was a brazen attack, but it didn't just start there. Investigators say the suspect was harassing kids in the park, telling one teenager he could handcuff him and drag him into a pond. But instead, deputies say the man then turned his attention to a 3-year-old.
Freddie Cantrell lives just across the street from Regional Park, where his 2 young girls were playing with their mother and stepdad Sunday night. It's a place they used to love that's now part of their biggest nightmare.
And then I got a phone call from the mother saying, hey, I need you to get down here quick. Somebody tried to kidnap Aubrey.
It all happened in front of their 6-year-old daughter.
The guy walked up and started, like, dragging Aubrey and, like, running with her, skipping with her.
The mom and stepdad took off running, with Cantrell now charging straight towards the suspect.
He tried to swing at me with the handcuffs wrapped around his fingers and try to use them as brass knuckles, and that's when I just took action and I just took them out.
Placer County deputies quickly arrived after the citizen's arrest and took 26-year-old Yanel Hernandez Velasco into custody for attempted kidnapping and assault with a deadly weapon.
You see the bad stuff on the news and hope it doesn't happen to your kids. So you just gotta keep an eye out, I guess.
Which sadly means parents in the neighborhood can't let kids just be kids and play unsupervised.
It's better than me having to get kidnapped because I came here alone.
Many are just grateful that man is off their street.
I mean, if I seen that, I would go after the person too, you know, because he's somebody's kid, you know.
And that's exactly what Cantrell did.
They're like, oh, you're a hero for saving that little girl. It's like, well, that little girl's my daughter. You know, I'm just doing the fatherly thing, you know.
And the girl's mother posted this story to her Facebook page. And now there have been nearly 1,000 shares and hundreds of comments from people all over the country praising this father. An incredible story. All right. Glad everybody's okay, Jen. Thanks.
So there we go. You know, the way I look at it, too, is with the parents, the message to the parents. Don't be afraid to knock the person out that is doing something to your son or daughter. If you see something suspicious, don't think, oh, well, the law's going to go against me. Because this has happened time and time again where they'll say, oh, well, if I punch this person, I'm going to end up in trouble. And I'm thinking, no, don't be foolish. When somebody grabs your child in any sort of malicious way, and you don't, especially don't know the person, you run up and you drop them. Like he said, that's when I took him out. You take them out as best way you can. You don't hesitate. There is no hesitation there. There is no one step forward, two steps back. It is straightforward, iron fist, bam, drop him, and then grab your child and bring them into safety. So that's a message to the adults this time, the parents. You have to make perfectly sure that they are looked after. You know what? After my daughter was almost kidnapped, the one thing I can say is this, is that she has felt more safe with me than ever before. We have discussions here and there where if she's going to be walking down the street by herself or something like that, she will say to me straight out, she will say, Dad, no, I know. I know I'm safe. You've taught me well. You know, I can do the eye gouge thing. I can do this and that. But not just that. If you're nearby, I know that you will come to my rescue and I'm going to be safe. I said, you're damn straight. You're damn straight that you're going to be safe. Yeah. So,
I mean, I noticed the name of the
Hernandez
abductor. Yeah, obviously, maybe not necessarily...
Mexican.
Maybe not native to the community, shall we say.
Yeah, yeah, Mexican.
And this is the whole thing, again, about community, and I bring up community a lot, but this is very important with the protection of your children. Years and years ago, there was a sense of community in, you know, and everyone still likes to think.
When it was a white community.
Yeah, when it was a genuine community. But the thing is, everyone still likes to think, because of this tolerance that's bred into everyone, you know, or educated into everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone still likes to think, even though society has changed, that it is as safe as it always was, and it really isn't.
It really isn't.
I mean, I'm not talking particularly for me personally. I live in a, you know, predominantly most of the people that live near me, are, you know, I would say, used to this style of community, this style of heritage and creed, and, you know, basically, you know, they're all white British, the people that I live around. They're not from other cultures. They're not used to other cultures. And therefore, I do feel quite safe leaving my kids to play outside the front of the house or whatever. My kids that are slightly older, I don't mind them walking up to the park, and, you know, and I've got one who's an adult now, and he can look after himself. But the whole thing about this chap was allowed to be wandering around in amongst the community when he blatantly wasn't part of the natural community. And I think that is also sadly part of the issue.
Yeah.
We have a lot of creeds and cultures all pushed in together, and they don't all have respect for each other, or they have a different level of respect for each other.
And I don't even think it really comes down to respect. I think it comes down to genetics and things like that. So the genetics doesn't allow respect in many ways. It just allows a sense of savagery. That's all they know. So we've got to keep that in mind as well. But I'm glad you brought this up, Maleficus, because at the end of all of these clips, because you've taken the words right out of my mouth, at the end of all these clips, I was going to let people know that when I went searching for these clips, the ones that came up the most were people of different colour and different creeds, different religions and everything like that. They were not of white Western European peoples. And they were the first hits that I saw on YouTube. I downloaded these from YouTube. When I typed this in, it just went bam, 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 bam. And straight away, I saw the Hernandez. You know what I mean? I saw the Shaniquas. I saw all of these. So it's another warning sign. Okay? Try and stick to your own. And I'll leave it at that.
Society is not what society is not what we are used to. And it's
different.
Not what we're told it still is. It's not that anymore.
Exactly. Which is why I say to my daughter at all times, just remember, back in the day where I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, it was one thing. It's not that anymore. This is why you were almost kidnapped when you were six. It's because society has changed. It has changed color. It has changed creed. So what you need to do is, I'm going to teach you how to box. I'm going to teach you how to look after yourself and everything like that. And parents need to start doing that. You know, this black person going out with a young white girl might look okay now, but it's too late when the white girl ends up in a bad state of affairs, if you know what I'm saying. So, yeah, let's get to the next one. Dad tackles man suspected of taking upskirt photos of daughter. Now, this is another thing that you've got to watch out for. What they're doing is they're putting like a little mirror on the top of their shoe. Parents, take heed in this. They put a mirror on the top of their shoe, and then they focus their cell phone on the mirror, and they put the mirror under young girls' skirts. All right? And then they film the upskirt. That's what they call it, an upskirt shot. They film the upskirt, and then they take it home and they sell it. They literally sell it on the internet. like they'll go to kiddie porn sites and stuff like that, and they sell it on the internet. So keep an eye on your surroundings when you've got your little girl around, because of course it's boys don't often wear skirts, as far as I know, but girls often do. So what happens is they film your daughter, and then they walk away and they sell it to like kiddie porn sites and everything like that. This is something you've got to be watching out for. This is why when my daughter and I are out, like she wears jeans on the most part, but if she's not wearing jeans or something like that, I'm always watching around me, because now, again, as Malefica said, society has totally changed. So now we're always got to be watching over our shoulder. So you've got to be watching out for dudes that have like a what looks like a little piece of glass stuck to the top of their foot. Because what they're doing, or some of them that are squatted down and they make it look like they're typing on their phone, you've got to watch out for this. Have a listen to this one here. Dad knocks out kidnapper. No, that's not the one. Dad tackles man suspected of taking upskirt photos of daughter.
What caught my attention when he got close to my daughter was the camera mode.
When this Orange County dad noticed this man approach his 15-year-old daughter in the Cypress Target Sunday night at 7:45 with a cell phone held low, pointed up in the direction of her skirt, he blocked him from getting close to her. But minutes later, as Ismael Duarte and his family stood in line, he saw the same bald man in a tank top strike again, this time bending down and apparently recording video up another woman's skirt. Target's security tape captured the confrontation.
We were coming over to the register, and here he comes again, pops out, following the girl, another girl with the dress.
Duarte kicked the cell phone from 29-year-old Jorge Ibarra.
My husband was basically almost on top of the guy and asking him to give him his phone, and he wouldn't.
Duarte and his wife ran after the man, snapping pictures of him and his license plate. That's all police needed to catch him.
It's disgusting that he knew exactly what he was doing. If he went to different Targets to do this, how many other stores did he go to?
Target security tape shows Ibarra placing his cell phone on the ground near other women in the Cypress Target that same night. Police say earlier that day at a Target in Cerritos, Ibarra used his cell phone to inappropriately videotape and take pictures of women there as well. The Duarte say the Cypress Target manager told them the staff had been warned that a man with Ibarra's description was targeting women in that store just 1 hour before.
And I said, why weren't you looking for him? This could have been prevented. And he just kept saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So watch out for that as well, ladies and gentlemen. You know, these perverts that... And they don't just do that too, by the way, Maleficus. A mate of mine sent me a video, a link to a video that showed that they also film girls in changing rooms and toilets. They must have some sort of, I don't know what sort of camera they're using, because it doesn't show the camera, of course, because the camera's filming. But it must be some sort of pin camera or something like that, because obviously these girls aren't seeing it. So I'm like, what the hell is going on here? You know, how are they hiding these cameras in these changing rooms and these toilets where girls are going to the toilet? So that's another thing parents need to be looking out for.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always said to my son and my daughter, always look around the toilet first and make sure there's nothing that looks suspect, because you don't know what's going on in there. And they're like, yeah, okay, Dad, yeah, no worries. And I okay, like to
so
think,
this is another strike against mobile phones for me. You see how they're no good to society.
Well, they are good to society with good people, but they're just not good to society with bad people.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
see, technology is neutral. It's neither good nor bad, but in bad hands, it's bad. In good hands, it's good. So you can't say either way that it's this is why I'm going to be against it. You've also got to be for it when it's a good thing. You know what I'm saying?
So, I know. And I was earlier. I did say I advocate for mobile phones in that particular instance.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so it's neutral. It's got to be treated as neutral. But what we've got to do is we've got to take it out of the bad hands. So if I happen to walk in to a toilet and I see a cell phone hovering under under one of the stalls because someone's putting it under there, I'll stamp on their arm, break their arm, drag them outside, beat the crap out of them and say, right, I've just taken that technology out of bad hands.
That's yeah, I get that, but obviously this is fairly covert. Otherwise, people would be doing exactly that. I mean, the guy that was wandering around the store there. I mean, how he hoped to get away with that without people seeing him? I just, it's beyond me. I mean, that's pure desperation. But that's what these weirdos are like, I suppose. You know?
Yeah. You can't. Yeah, you don't really. You see, that's the whole thing. I think you brought up a good point. There is like that's how these weirdos are because you're unsure. Well, you and I don't know how these people think because we're not them. You know what I'm saying? So, we can't have some form of empathy for them, meaning we put ourselves in their shoes because we can never become that. You know what I'm saying? Like, my brother and I had a discussion about our father because he was a molester. He molested my whole family besides me, as far as we know. We don't know how to become that because we can never become that. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, our father had something wrong going on in the wiring of the brain and need to be put down swiftly. But to actually, I said to my brother, I said, how do these people function? Why do they do it? He said, Sean, we will never know because we're not them. We're not wired wrong. They are. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. They're weirdos, pretty much. All right, let me see here. Oh, we might have just had a call from Jimmy X. I'm not sure whether he knows we're on air or not, but let me have a look. Let me see here. Oh, no, maybe not. I thought we had a call from Jimmy X just then. Okay, are you still there, Maleficus?
I am indeed, yes, yeah.
Okay, I'm pretty sure we just had a call from Jimmy X. Oh, well, maybe not. Well, Jimmy, if you are listening, and we did have a call from you, by all means, call back in. All right, so we've got another clip here. Disturbing video. California girl hides behind truck as she's followed by a stranger. Let's have a listen.
Police in Northern California, they've released some video of a young girl being followed by a suspicious car right in broad daylight. Take a look at this. You can see the girl walking when suddenly she notices a car trailing her. This is in Vacaville. She then hides behind a pickup truck there, trying to dodge the car before running away. Residents in the neighborhood are shocked by the frightening incident.
Be careful out there. And she did the right thing by running home.
The world we live in, you never can trust anybody, really. So my kids know, honestly, they're not allowed to walk alone really anywhere.
Investigators are now hoping this footage will help them find that driver. Officers are also warning parents and children to just stay on alert and look out for suspicious drivers out there.
Hello, I'm Mark Brown. Click the ABC7 logo to subscribe to our Eyewitness News YouTube channel.
Well, we do have Jimmy X joining us on the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy X, what you doing?
Listening to you two.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, we're doing child safety at the present time. So we're not allowed to swear. We're not allowed to use bad language at the present time. This is a child safety hour.
It is?
Yeah.
Good to hear your voice, Jimmy.
Oh, same here. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Yourself?
Good. I'm doing okay. It's actually a really lovely day today, and it's, about 10 to 7 in the evening, and I'm sitting outside enjoying a nice, cold, frosty beverage. I won't mention what it is, since it's family hour, and actually imbibing in one of my other vices, which I won't mention either because it's family hour.
There we go. There we go. We've been playing clips for Stranger Danger because, as you know, Jimmy, you know how I usually do the drowning thing each year, where it's for the parents to make perfectly sure that they watch over their children when they're around a pool or something like that. They have to be really careful.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah. So what we're doing this evening is we're actually doing the Stranger Danger thing where we're playing clips to show how easy it is for a child to end up getting picked up by strangers, and we're warning the parents and the children not to accept anything from a stranger, not to get into a car with a stranger, and that sort of stuff.
Right. I mean, I caught a little bit of the show. Like I said, I came outside and I put the radio on, and there you were in all of your glory, both of you gentlemen. It's a shame, though, that it's a shame we have to remind parents of these things, though, isn't it? I mean, really?
Especially in this day and age. Yeah. I mean,
when I was a little kid. Oh, I'm sorry. I think we're all talking at once. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Go ahead. What happens is there's a bit of a delay between us. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm on my cell phone. I'm not in my studio. So when I was a little kid, I remember we had a little baby pool, which you call, I guess, right out in the backyard. And my little sister, Anne-Marie, was standing next to the pool and horsing around with my other little sister, who's younger than her, and she fell backwards into the pool. And my father had gone in the house for just a minute to answer the phone. And I didn't know what to do. I mean, I was like 6 years old. What do I know, right?
Yeah.
But I still remember that. He came running out, and she, you think about how fast something can happen. And she could have drowned.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I mean, you know, and again, this was probably 1966, I'm going to guess. So, you know, the phone rang, my father went in the house, and there's three of us, three little kids outside around a pool. You know, I guess people don't think of it until, unfortunately, it's too late at times.
Well, as I was saying earlier, unlike Hollywood, drowning doesn't look like drowning. Quite often a child will have their head, if they're on the beach and their mouth and nose is below the water and they've got this dazed look or this glazed look over their eyes, their parents often think that they're just very calm in the water, but actually they're drowning. It's not like the kicking and splashing in Hollywood. They're actually quite calm as they're drowning. They go into a glazed type thing, and a lot of parents don't understand that. There was a captain that had to jump in off a boat, again, as I was saying earlier, and save a child because the parents just didn't realize that she was drowning. And it was just, she was lucky that the captain jumped overboard, took his hat off, jumped overboard of a ship, no less, and grabbed the little girl and took her out onto the beach and said, "Your daughter was drowning. You know, don't look at Hollywood." You know, so yeah, anything can happen at any time. And, you know, as you know, Jimmy, as I've been saying on the broadcast, my daughter was almost kidnapped, and it can happen in the blink of an eye. You just wouldn't know it. If you remember when we were back on Oracle, and Kurt, the armchair survivalist, spoke about how so many parents leave their little 3-year-old and 4-year-old daughters and boys walking behind them. So what he did is he walked up and he picked up one of these little girls and he walked up to the parents and he said, "Is this your daughter?" And they sort of looked at him as if like, "Yeah, that's our daughter. What the hell?" And he said, "Don't let your little daughter walk behind you like that. Anybody could have picked her up just like I did and taken her away and done whatever."
Right.
You know,
yeah, and you know, and I don't know if you've ever experienced it. when my daughter, my oldest girl, was young, this is back in, I mean, again, she was probably maybe 6, 7 herself. We were in a department store that was near our house, and she used to like to go there with me, and we'd go and you know, shopping or whatever. She liked to buy clothes and stuff.
Yeah,
and she thought she was funny. The one day, she went and hid in a clothes rack.
Oh yeah,
and yeah, and I was calling her, and I'm calling her, and she's not answering, and I thought I was going to have a heart attack.
Yeah, yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Okay, here's a similar story. My brother, actually experienced exactly the same thing. Now, you've spoken to my brother online, Jimmy, before.
Right.
Where his little son, Riley, did the same thing. He went in, hit an enclosed rack, and they had to shut the whole complex down in case he was going to be trying to get out the doors or whatever. They had to call the police, the whole lot. But here's a scarier one. My daughter, we were swimming at the river at one stage. In fact, I wasn't swimming, but she was. And then I was on the mobile phone for literally, and this is where Maleficus is right when it comes to, you know, mobile phones can be a detriment. I was on the mobile phone only for probably 10 seconds just to reply back to a message. And I looked up at the river and my daughter's gone. And I thought, oh my God, there's no ripples. There's no nothing. She's gone. And I'm thinking, how do I find her? How do I jump out into that water and find her? So I just dove in and I started looking around under the water the best way I can. I didn't have goggles or anything. And I started looking around the water and then I poked my head up and she came out of the weeds on the side and she goes, hi, Dad. And I went, don't you ever hide from me like that again. I said, I thought you were drowning. It scared the bejesus out of me.
Oh. I get it. And I'm not being funny. She was playing a prank. And Jimmy, it's funny. You've just brought back a memory for me. I remember hiding in a clothes rack in a shop when I was a kid. Yeah, I do. I do. It's just a childish thing.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, that I was so, I mean, the problem is it scared me to death.
I don't doubt it. As a parent, I've not remembered that until you mentioned that just then.
Yeah. So, and Sean, thank you for the record, Sean, they did the same thing. They locked all the doors at the store when I said something, and she came out and she thought it was hilarious. Well, Daddy didn't think it was hilarious. Let me tell you.
Oh yeah. My brother took his son over his lap and spanked him something shocking. He said, don't you ever do that again, because we thought you might have escaped the store and been hit by a car. Oh,
right. Well, I brought her home and she could tell I wasn't happy, and I didn't, I never spanked her or hit her. I told her, you're in your room for the rest of the night and you're not to come out. You're not going to watch TV. You're not going to do anything. You're going to stay in your room and you're going to think about what you did.
Yeah.
And I felt bad enough about that, you know.
But, yeah.
I mean, they scare the hell out of you.
It does. And it scares
me. They're being funny, you know. They think it's funny.
Yeah. It's a child thing to do. You know, children are strange things. By the way, I'm going to have to beep out a bad word I just made earlier. I said the S word. But I said the S word. But here's the thing. Children are crazy that way when it comes to, like, you walk out and there's a, you know, like when your son or daughter's like 4 years of age and they've got their tongue on a PowerPoint and, you know, a power socket. And you're sort of like, what are you doing? Get away from that. You're going to electrocute yourself. You know, they do stupid things. And you've just got to deal with it the best way you know how. But
just to sort of add weight to what I was saying a second ago, the only reason I hid in a clothes rack as a child in a shop, right, I'm assuming must have been because I was just bored of shopping. But I remember what the thing that made me move is that a stranger came and started looking through the clothes in the rack that I was hid in. And I was like, "Whoa! I'm bolting out of here."
This conversation is starting to remind me of the roads are for sleeping, the roads are for driving, not for sleeping.
Oh, yeah. So to let you know, Maleficus, I won't go into too much detail because it's a family hour, but the Aboriginals over here seem to think it's okay to sleep on the road in the desert. So when the truck drivers...
I am aware.
Yeah.
From one of your previous broadcasts.
I'll leave it there. But yeah.
I just heard that the other day again. And I said, you know, I laughed. That's the second time I heard it. And it's the second time I literally laughed out loud over the, they had to produce an ad to tell adults, not to go to sleep on the road in the desert. It's unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah.
Did they
true.
Not have a don't sniff petrol from a can as well?
Yeah.
I heard that. Yeah. I did hear that one too. Yeah.
Yeah, don't sniff petrol from... So what they do at the moment is they line... Oh, well, I'm not going to go into detail. This is a family show. But anyway, I think we've got time for one more clip, Jimmy and Maleficus. Let's have a listen to this one. How a 10-year-old scared off a stranger. This is good for kids to know, so you parents get to know this. How a 10-year-old scared off a stranger in her driveway.
She's only 10 years old, but she's already being called a hero after scaring away a suspected intruder. Megan Alexander talked with the little girl.
Hey, get up! Get out of here!
Quick thinking from this brave 10-year-old girl, as authorities say she foils an attempted burglary. Watch as Lola climbs in the passenger seat of her family's SUV parked in her driveway in Bakersfield, California. She turns the engine on to start the air conditioning. This guy casually walks up the driveway right into the open garage. So what did Lola do? She springs into action.
Hey, get up! Get out of here!
What were you thinking when you saw that guy come up your driveway?
I thought he might have been, like, someone selling something or someone coming to pick something up. And then when he walked into my garage with no one in there, I just kind of felt like he's not supposed to really be here.
The screams are enough to scare off the suspected intruder. There he goes.
How proud are you of your daughter?
Oh, I'm so, so, so proud. She has a lot of confidence, and I feel like that's what played a big role in that situation. It opens your eyes and shows everybody else what exactly could really happen in the blink of an eye.
Like they say, whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. In this case, this Lola, she got rid of a bad man.
Hey, get up! Get out of here!
Family says from now on, they will not let the kids wait in the car, but everyone will leave the house together.
So there you go. You know, kids can have an overpowering thing against the intruders, especially if it's a young girl that can scream with a high pitched sound. Scream your heart
she'll
out.
She'll be in the movies. She'll be in horror movies when she's older.
Yeah.
The fact that she realized that somebody didn't belong in her garage, you know, that was a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? You know, who knows if you know, some other kid might just go like, oh well, you know.
Yeah, no, well, that's right. And you don't know whether he was going to burglarize something or just sort of hide in there and wait until one of the children came home from school. You wouldn't know. So, you know, one of the first things kids can do, even young boys can still squeal when they're young. Their voice hasn't broken. So scream your heart out. Scream your heart out and make perfectly sure that people are going to hear what's going on because it attracts attention.
Of course. No, that's of course. Anything, make noise, yell, scream, whatever you got to do.
Eye gouge, bite, scratch if they pick you up or anything like that. Absolutely.
That's right.
There's no doubt about it. We've come to the end of the show. We've come to the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen.
I know. I realize that. We're coming to the top of the hour. Look, I have to apologize. I didn't catch the show till like 7:30 of my time. And I didn't know if you were live or not. And so one of these days I'll start from the beginning at 6 when you actually started, okay?
Yeah, no, that'd be cool, Jimmy. It's great to have you just calling in spontaneously like this. It's great. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Two's Company Three's Aloud, brought to you live by the one, the only WTFR, Maleficus Sentius, Adrian. We had Giuseppe Vafongulu, and we also had Jimmy X call in. It's just great to have you all.
7.9 FM.
We will talk to you very soon.
And 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.
Haven't you heard of La Happy Merchant?
La Happy Merchant?
Yes, La Happy Merchant.
Hmm.
Le Happy Merchant.
Yes! Le Happy Merchant! The one with the really big hook nose! The one that runs around with the banking dynasties under the false title known as the Federal Reserve Bank! Le Happy Merchant! The same Le Happy Merchant that was once known as the Goldsmith that invented the corrupt idea of fractional reserve banking!
Le Happy Merchant? Lead me to this Le Happy Merchant so that we can make him not so happy.